I want to make the point this evening that the Word of God is the most important gift that God has given to us. And I'm making that point from those verses in Mark 1, where we're told that Jesus, when he entered Capernaum, he goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach. Now, you know that this is not the only time this happened. Wherever Jesus went, he would go to the synagogue, or he would go into somebody's house, or he would stand in the open air, or he would get into a boat. And people would gather around him and he would teach. Teaching was a huge part of Christ's ministry. And the fact that teaching was such a huge part of Christ's ministry tells us that the Word of God is absolutely central to our Christian lives. If we are to live the Christian life in a way that honors God and glorifies God, this Word has to be absolutely central. If we move 1 millimeter away from this, we've moved away from God. Because this is a revelation of God. This is God's breath. This is God's mind. This is God's heart. This is God's character. This is God's ways. This is God's Word. So I want to ask the question this evening, why is the Bible so important in our lives? And in order to answer that question, I want us to turn to the letter of Paul to Timothy, the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 3, 2 Timothy and chapter 3. This is where I'm going to be preaching from this evening. I want to look at why is the Bible so important in our lives. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read verses 14 to 17, a very important and a very famous passage, well-known passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 17. And Paul says to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Why is the Bible so important for us in our Christian lives? Why is it that you should read the Bible daily? I encourage you to do that. If it never has been your habit to read the Bible, I encourage you, set aside time in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, whenever you can. Set a time when you take your Bible, and I would suggest take one book and read through it passage by passage. If you can handle one chapter at a time, that's great. Do one chapter at a time. I think it'll take you 4 years to go through the Bible. That's fine. Nobody's in a rush and nobody's standing over you and saying you must finish it in 6 months. If you can do half a chapter, that's fine. But I would suggest take a book of the Bible and read through it passage by passage, chapter by chapter. When you finish that, go to another one and read that. Now, when you may find some of the books of the Bible, when you first start reading them, they don't make much sense to you. Perhaps some of the Old Testament prophets could be very obscure. Some of the New Testament letters are handling enormous theological issues, and the arguments are very dense, they're very closely argued, and we don't always follow the argument. Well, don't give up. Read it. When you come back to it, you'll have more light. When you come back to it again, you'll have more light. Pray and ask God to teach you. But I would encourage you, please read the scriptures. Now, why then is the Bible so important in our lives? Why should we read the scriptures daily? Well, looking at 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17, three reasons. They're all there. I'm just going to pick them out. Three reasons why the Bible is so important. In the first place, it has come from heaven. It has come from heaven. You know verse 16, I expect some of us could quote verse 16 from our memories. All scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And what Paul is saying, of course, is that every word God has spoken. It's not the case that Moses sat down and thought, let me write about creation. Now what shall I? Oh, I think I'll write, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and darkness was over the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light. And Moses thought, I think I'll write that down. That's not how it happened, of course. God spoke those words, and Moses wrote down as God spoke them. Now, of course, Moses was involved in the revelation process, but the primary source of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua is God. It's not the case that Paul, writing to Timothy, thought, well, I think I'll say to Timothy that the Word of God is important, so I think I'll formulate some words and write those words and see how they all come out. He says here, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's God. It has come from the mouth of God. It is the breath of God. The Greek word, theopneustos, the breath of God. Now, if I were to come to you with a book, say I visited you this week, and I brought it, and I said, I thought you'd like this book, and you'd say, oh, who wrote it? And I said, well, it's a pastor in Africa, and he's very shaky, this guy. His moral life is pretty uncertain. You know, his married life has been pretty uncertain, and the way that he's behaved with his children hasn't been that great, I must admit. And as a pastor, he's been pretty unfaithful to his people. But I thought you might like this book. Well, you would quite rightly say, I don't know if I want to read this book, because the author doesn't seem to be a particularly faithful man. I don't know if I should read this book. But if I came to your house and I said, here's a book, I thought you might enjoy it, and this man has a proven ministry, God has used him mightily, and he has been faithful to his wife and his children, and been a faithful pastor in the church, and God has used him greatly. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that the book is inspired or anything like that, but you might find it helpful. Well, you'd say, okay, I'll have a look at it. But if you go to somebody and you say, this has come from heaven. God wrote this, not man. God wrote this. Well, surely it's got to occupy number one place in our lives. Surely. Surely we've got to say, I must read it. God wrote it. I must read it. This is what Paul is saying, isn't it, in verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. So the first reason why the Bible is so important in our lives, it has come from heaven. The second reason why the Bible is so important is that it teaches us the way to heaven. It teaches us the way to heaven. Verse 15, well, 14 and 15, Paul says to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He says, continue in this word. You've been acquainted with it, he says. Your mother, your grandmother, Timothy, they taught you this word. You already know it. What a blessing Timothy had. He grew up in a home where the word of God was taught right from childhood. His grandmother, his mother, they taught him the scriptures. And Paul knew that people like that, they become so acquainted with the word of God that it loses its freshness, it loses its power, it loses its wonder. Well, we've known the scriptures right from the time we were born. And of course, all the parables are familiar to us. And Daniel's, the stories in Daniel, the lion's den, and so on. And Jonah in the belly of the fish. All these stories are familiar to us. And these things can become familiar. And so Paul says to Timothy, yes, I know you've been acquainted since childhood with this passage, with this word, he says. But remember, he says, these sacred writings, sacred writings, Holy Scripture, sacred writings, he says, are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. If we didn't have this book, we would never go to heaven. Because the human default position, the instinctive human thinking is, I want to go to heaven, I must work my way there. That's the default position. We were hearing about the fall this morning in the Garden of Eden and how Satan came and led Eve and led Adam into sin. And sin brought a number of consequences, a number of things happened when sin entered the human psyche. And one of those is that the human mind began to think, I want to go to heaven, I must work for it. And the human person thinks, any human being thinks, well, as long as I please God, you know, as long as I go to church and I'm baptized and I sing the hymns and I've made a decision for Jesus, and as long as I'm doing the works and I'm pleasing God, I will enter heaven. But you notice he says here that this word, he says, makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, we don't hear that from anywhere else. Islam won't tell you that. Hinduism won't tell you that. No philosopher will tell you that. But the scriptures tell us the way to heaven. And the scriptures reveal Christ. And the scriptures speak of his coming into this world and why he came. And the scriptures tell us about his works here. It tells us about his teaching. It tells us about how he ministered to people. It tells us about his death. And he tells us why he died. And he tells us that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, as he hung upon that cross, our sins were laid upon him. And the penalty that we should have paid, he has paid. And he shed his blood. And we who are unclean in the sight of God, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we who are slaves of sin, the blood of Jesus redeems us out of slavery to sin. And we who have the anger of God hovering above us, the death of Jesus Christ removes that anger because it pays the penalty for our sins. And we who are removed from God, enemies of God, alienated from God, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are now reconciled to God. So the death of Jesus Christ pays our penalty, cleanses us from sin, removes the anger of God, redeems us from slavery to sin, and reconciles to God. All this through the death of Jesus Christ. And this alone is the way of salvation. And the scriptures alone teach this. There's no other book in the world that teaches this apart from the Bible and books that have come from the Bible. In other words, people who have written commentaries and sermons based on the Bible. Now, of course, this isn't just for a one-off thing. You know, I'm unsaved, I want another way of salvation, I read the Bible, right, I know the way of salvation, done. No. Because, of course, we need to be reminded of the gospel again and again. We need to be reminded of the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. And this is why we need to go back to the scriptures and why we need to remind ourselves of the death of Christ on our behalf. So why is the Bible so important? Well, it is from heaven. Secondly, it teaches us the way to heaven. But then there's a third reason why the Bible is so important in our lives. It has come from heaven. It teaches us the way to heaven. And thirdly, it prepares us for heaven. It prepares us for heaven. Look at what Paul says in verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. It is profitable. It is useful. It's a very strong word. It's not, it might do you some good every now and again. That's not the word he's using. You might find it to bring you a few blessings here and there every so often. That is not the meaning. It is actually profitable. It will bring you huge benefits. It is profitable for teaching. In other words, it will teach you. For reproof. And reproof means where we need a sharp word. It will give you that sharp word. If I'm straying into sin, this word will awaken my conscience. If I'm careless in what I'm watching on the internet, if I'm careless in the way I'm speaking to people and I'm getting into gossip, if I'm being critical and negative and my words are discouraging, this book will reprove me. This book will gently correct me. So you see, he says it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So the Bible isn't just there to teach us the way of salvation. The Bible is God's means of sanctifying us. You know this verse in Ephesians where Paul speaks about Christ's love for the church. And he says, this is Ephesians 5:25. Let me just find Ephesians first. This is what Paul says to the Ephesians. He says, this is chapter 5 and verse 25 of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. He might cleanse her. He might perfect her. That's what it means. That he might take her through this process of perfection. That through this process, she will emerge a perfect church. That he might sanctify her. How? What is the means of sanctification? Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So he says the word is this cleansing agent. Do you know this is true? As we read the scriptures, as we study the scriptures, so we are transformed into the image of Christ. You know, I speak about this often, that this is God's ongoing work in our lives. We're Christians here. What is God doing? God is transforming us. God is at work, bringing more and more Christ-likeness out of us. He's at work in us, removing sinful habits and sinful ways, and instilling in us Christ-like habits and Christ-like ways, so that we're increasingly becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Well, what tools does he use for this work? Well, one of the major tools he uses is the Word of God. Because the Word of God brings to us comfort, encouragement, and challenge. Where I am going wrong, the Word of God will speak to me. Where I'm in need of encouragement, the Word of God will bring encouragement. Where I'm in need of comfort, the Word of God will bring comfort. And God uses this word in this transforming process. It's not the only tool, but it is one of the biggest tools he uses. He also uses our trials. He uses fellowship with one another. He uses service for him. All these things are means that God uses in this transforming process. But the word of God is at the heart of it. And you can always tell those who have studied the scriptures, immersed themselves in the scriptures, there is a maturity, a godliness, a Christ-likeness about them. Do you know, it is a rule of the Christian life. You will never become Christ-like if you ignore the word, if you're not diligent in the study of the word of God. It's very rare. In fact, I've never met a person who is not diligent in studying the scriptures, but is Christ-like. You don't see that. You don't see people who are wonderfully Christ-like, but careless with the word. The two don't go together. Those who are Christ-like are careful with the word, honor the word, study the word, immerse themselves in the word, memorize the word, and give themselves to teaching it, studying it. It's hugely important. And Paul says these scriptures that have been breathed out by God, he says, they are profitable. They are there for our good, to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness, so that the word of God, actually my translation says, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Not competent, it says complete, because that word means perfect. And that is what God is about. So we started with Mark 1. Jesus, wherever he went, preached, brought the word of God to the people. Why? Well, because the word of God has come from heaven. And the word of God teaches us the way to heaven. And the word of God prepares us for heaven. Can I encourage you, daily give yourself to the study of Scripture. Immerse yourself in it. And God will deal with your sins and transform you increasingly into the image of Christ.